Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And boy, I'd like to just go ahead and say, if you haven't been outside this morning, it is an absolutely beautiful day. You need to get out and take a walk. You need to see the blue sky. You need to see the mountains that are covered with snow, Lassen and Shasta and the Trinity Alps. And if you've been stuck inside, today's the day to get out there and to really enjoy that. Have you been out there at all? Been able to enjoy that, Jared? Or have you been stuck in the studio the whole time?
I've been indoors pretty much the whole time, but I do plan on getting out there today and enjoying the weather.
Well, you know, if you live in a neighborhood and with the house and everything else, you never get out, so kind of all you ever see is your neighborhood and things like that, I encourage you to jump in your car and shoot out to Shasta Lake. Go up to Shasta Dam. I mean, how many people live here and never go see Shasta Dam? If you get the opportunity to drive up to Shasta Dam and enjoy the view of the dam and the canyon and the water and the green grass that's up there in the park and look across the lake to Mount Shasta, we are so blessed to live here in Northern California and to be able to have the accolades and to be able to have the assets that we have around us and to be able to continually enjoy that. Like I said, I've been all over the world, and I've seen many different countries, and out of all those places that I've been, I consider Northern California my home because it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and we are so blessed to be here. People come from all over the world and the country to vacation here, and we have the opportunity for the blessing to enjoy our Northern California every day. You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about first thing this morning is to talk to you about encouragement. You know, with our programs for the Northern California Veterans Museum, we have Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and we have Silver Star Widows and Veterans Program. And throughout the week, I probably talk to 15 or 20 individuals that either call me or I call them and talk to them and do what I call it a buddy check. That's what we call it in the military is when you call one of your buddies and say, hey, look, how you doing? I know that you know things are tough. You might be going through some things. Just wondering, seeing how you're doing. And that's what I do with these individuals that are part of our program. People say, how do you do that along with everything else? Well, you know, my day starts early and it ends late. Sometimes I call folks as late as 9 o'clock. And you know what? They're always glad to hear that somebody is calling and somebody is caring. So I'm going to encourage you today through our program and in your life, with everything that's going on out there right now, it looks like the chaos and things are upside down and backwards and everything else. You as an individual have the opportunity to be a positive light, a positive attitude in other people's lives. And I'd encourage you to, each one of you as a listener, I encourage you to call 5 people in your life today or this weekend. You call them, it's a 5-minute conversation, it's a 5-second conversation. And if they want to talk for 45 minutes, be willing enough to have a listening ear to be able to listen to them. People are cooped up right now. Some of them are scared, some of them are tired, some are worn out. And it's our opportunity to be able to be a light in their life, to be able to call them and just say, hey, you know, you're on my mind today. And I thought, you know, I just call you and see how you're doing and go from there. It's so simple to be able to have a conversation like that. And they don't have to be a relative. They can be somebody that you met, somebody at work that's been sick or hasn't come out or whatever else, an elderly person, your neighbor down the street, whoever it is. We need to come together as a community, and we need to be encouragers. This time when things are so tough, it's so easy to fall prey to negative talk. It's easy to fall prey to the news that's going on out there because there's so much different information that's out there. But a genuine, heartfelt conversation with somebody that you know, or see somebody that you don't even really know, but somebody that you just want to chat with or say hi to, is so important. And when I talk to some of these individuals throughout the week, they go, you know what? I know you're busy, but I really appreciate your phone call. And sometimes it's tough because I've got lots of folks on my mind, lots of different issues that are going on. But it's like, oh, I got 30 seconds. I'm going to call this person real quick, and that conversation might take 10 minutes. Well, I'm working while they're talking. It's not that difficult to be able to share a little bit of information and find out how those individuals are doing. And so the encouragement that I offer to you today is to encourage others to be able to step forward and make that happen. We've got a lot of things going on with the Veterans Museum right now as we continue to move forward with the project. And one of the things that we talked a little bit about last week is we had gotten a letter of reprimandation from the Shasta County for having staff members in our building, and we haven't had anybody in our facility for since March. So whenever I'm there, I'm by myself, and and I don't wear a mask when I'm by myself. In my opinion, there's no reason to wear a mask because I'm protecting myself from myself, so it doesn't make sense. But somebody brought the light to me is that we have three or four mannequins in our front window that are completely dressed in uniforms, and they look like people that are standing there, even talking or whatever else. And it's like they thought that maybe that Shasta County had driven by, or somebody had driven by and seen the mannequins standing there in the window like they're having a conversation without a mask on. And so I thought to myself, how ludicrous is the situation where people can't step up and see exactly what's taking place in a building, such as our museum office where we have mannequins without masks on. I guess I should just go through the building and put masks on all the mannequins so that they're socially acceptable. But that's not going to happen. And so it's just interesting to me that they're so willing, entities in our community are so willing to find fault with different organizations than they are to step out and say, what is the reality of what's taking place here? And so I'm going to move those mannequins right up to the front windows so they're actually looking out at the public as they drive by without masks on. And then people can really go, what's going on in that place? But I would like to continue to encourage you once again in our community as we move forward. We have individuals that come to us all the time that are in need of services. They're in need of support. And we are very fortunate with our programs to be able to step out and to make that happen. There are so many people, once again, that are searching for the opportunity for someone to give them truth or to give them encouragement, and it's important for us to be able to do that. And I continue to encourage you. You know, a lot of times that tunnel is dark and you're traveling through that tunnel and all of a sudden there's a light. Some people might say that light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming from the other direction. But I don't look at it that way. I look at that is the light of God in my life, because without that opportunity, without God in my life to be able to give me the opportunity to know what to expect as far as encouragement and know that God's in charge of not just my life but everything that's going on around. One of the things that I like to remember is when we were in Iraq, and every day we did 177 missions, combat missions outside the wire in enemy territory. And every time we got ready to step out, I knew that there was the possibility that we may not come back. And finally, I used to be scared. At every single mission, I used to be scared to death, and my gut was in my throat. But as the leader of 25 men in that situation, I had to step forward and be the example. Because if I was down, my men were down. If I was upset, my men were upset. If I was sad, my men were sad. And all of a sudden it dawned on me after several missions that they completely relied and lived off of my emotions from what was taking place. If the command was on my case, I had to be above and beyond and make sure that my men knew that they had encouragement to continue to move forward. And that's how it is in our lives. Life is tough out there right now. But we have the opportunity to be the solution and not the problem. And so today, as we continue with this program and we talk about some wonderful things that are going on in our community, I want to be able to remind you and encourage you to be the encourager for someone else. And the biggest thing is to make sure that we stand and that we continue to stand, and we draw our faith and we draw our courage from God. as we move forward to continue to do the things that we're doing in our lives and in our communities. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every
time. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do
about them? Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And that song, if you haven't seen the video before, it's the U.S. Army Flight School song. And they if you look at that video, it's the helicopter from the cockpit, and they're flying, and they're in a Black Hawk, and they're just going map of the earth, going through jungles and rivers and mountains and peaks and valleys. And it's just as a helicopter pilot myself, I loved flying that way when I was taught to fly that way. And my guest this morning is actually I have three guests this morning. I have Dave Everson, who is an Army pilot veteran, and I have his wife Christine, and also have their son Eric. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We're going to talk about your family. We're going to talk about your history, and Eric, we're going to talk about some scouting things that you're doing right now, and how important that is in our community and what you're doing. And so, good morning, Dave. I'm glad you're here. Dave Everson and I started flying. When I was 16 down in Southern California at a Van Nuys airport. But I started flying helicopters. Actually, I flew helicopters out of Van Nuys also, a millionaire down there. The 300 and the Schweitzer 269 is where I started flying helicopters down there. And then I met Dave in 1991, and we started flying the Robinson helicopters. And Dave's an instructor, and he and I have flown many, many hours together. Dave has taught me many, many times what to do and what not to do. And I would consider Dave to be a master pilot. He does a fantastic job. He's got thousands and thousands of hours. And Dave, I thank you for your service to our country. And I'd like you to just tell us a little bit about when you started flying and what bit you. And I know your dad had a T-6 Texan, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And
yeah.
So talk a little about when you flew with your dad and how that influence got you into becoming a helicopter pilot and your Army duty.
Well, I started flying with my dad when I was about 10. He had a World War II surplus AT-6. He was a veteran. He was in the Air Force. And afterwards, he was able to first get the old BT-13 trainers, and then he moved up to the AT-6. And as a kid, I was always flying with him as much as I could. And then from there, I went into building hang gliders. And back then, you had to build them. You didn't have them built. And I flew those for years. And finally got into powered flying again in my late 20s. And then when a friend of mine got into a hang gliding friend of mine got into helicopters, and I decided that would be probably one of the more ultimate vehicles to have to be able to access the backcountry, the beautiful country we have up here in Northern California, as you were saying, then I just fell in love with it. I just got into it and started to fly as much as I could, and accidentally kind of ran into it as a career in order to fly more.
Well, I know that when we first started flying, it being introduced to Northern California, especially through the air, is completely different than flying anywhere else, because here we have the valley, we have hills, you have water, large bodies of water to be able to fly over, we have mountains to fly through where there's different winds and turbulences and things like that. And so if you fly to San Francisco, it's just a ferry flight. But if you fly to Medford, Oregon, you're flying mountain flying. And it all starts from located right here in Redding, California. And so when you used to fly, like, I want to talk back about your dad a little bit. When you were flying with the T-6, the Texan, I know that your dad had introduced you to some other pilots also, some historical pilots. Now, you had a chance to meet and talk with Charles Lindbergh.
Yeah, that's right. I was about 10 when he came strolling by the hangar. I didn't know who he was. My dad was talking to him for a while, and Charles was talking to him about the AT-6 a little bit. And then he says, "Dave, come on over here," and he introduced me. And, you know, shook hands, and then he walked away after a little bit. And my dad said, "You know who that is?" I said, "I said, "That's the guy who flew all the way across the Atlantic, first one." You know, so pretty famous guy.
1927, yes.
Yeah. So, and that was pretty interesting looking back on that. And later on, I got to meet through another flying friend of mine, Chuck Yeager, who I guess just recently passed away.
He did, about 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah. And he was, that guy was really interesting. I mean, the World War II ace, and if you read the book called Yeager, it tells a lot about his episodes in life. And he was a very interesting guy. I gave him actually his first official helicopter lesson. He did fly in the Hueys a little bit, kind of in the Air Force from some other buddies. But, he was quite the fixed-wing pilot.
Well, and he was the first man to break the sound barrier also with the X-1.
That's right. First one to break sound barrier. He had several other achievements, but he was an excellent pilot from all the stories you read, very precise. And he was a maintenance test pilot. I think that's what got him his foot in the door as far as precision flying and making things work just right.
And he seemed like he was, whenever they asked for a volunteer, his hand was like the first one up in the air. He was like, you know, just ready, biting to find a new challenge and to be able to do that. I mean, during World War II, when he was a fighter ace, he flew Glorious Glenn, which was Glenn was his wife's name, and it was a P-51 Mustang D, and he flew that over Europe fighting the Nazi Germans. And you graciously brought him by the museum when we were out at the 3711 Meadowview Drive location out at the airport, and I was able to give him a personal tour through the museum at that time for almost about an hour he spent. And even though we had just had a small museum, I have a lot of different collections of pictures and things that autographs from him that we had on display because I'm, you know, an aviation enthusiast. And so we went through and he saw, oh, yeah, I remember signing this and that and the other thing. And we had a 100-pound bomb there on the counter. And when I had him sign that bomb for us, all of our World War II veterans signed that bomb. And so in our offices right now, we have that bomb on display. And it has Chuck Yeager's signature and the date and everything on there. And what a privilege. I've had the privilege of meeting six different World War II Medal of Honor recipients in my lifetime and my naval career also. And what a privilege it was to be able to stand there and talk to the man. And, you know, he was in his late 80s, probably his early 90s at that time, because that was, what, back in 2011, 2012. And so it was just to be able to talk with a man and to know his experiences and where he's been, what he's seen, what he's done, what he's accomplished not just a national hero, but a world hero as far as space and aviation goes. And then to be able to talk with them and have them talk back in a regular conversation. We don't have these American heroes in our presence very much anymore because we're losing so many so fast. Talk a little bit about your aviation school and what you were doing there.
Well, Air Shasta started actually as Chico Helicopters back when I was living in Chico, and then it turned into North Valley when I got up here in Redding. And then we finally took over the FBO, one of them, the two, at Redding Municipal Airport. And I named it Air Shasta, after Air America was the idea. And then we have flight school. We have charter services. We do tours, too. That's one thing that's nice about the Northern California area. To our east, west, and north, we have quite the good scenic views. We have the Trinity Alps, Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen. Those are all real great places to fly, and people we take up have been living here all their lives and never knew what some of these areas look like from the air. And they're just amazed at what we have around here when they go up.
If you ask me, the North State's a gem from the ground. But when you get into the air, the North State is a shining diamond because now you have a full perspective of above the horizon. It's so easy to just look at the horizon. All you see is trees or some hills or some grass or the freeway or a house or power lines. But when you rise above all of that, maybe that's one of the reasons why I have a different perspective is looking at life, is because when you rise above that, when you're flying, and you're not in an airline, or you're in the front seat and you're in control of your destiny when you're behind a stick, and you be able to see everything that's going on, there's the freedom of flying that you can never find anywhere else. That's one of the things that I fell in love with. But flying a helicopter versus an airplane, with the airplane, you have to have a runway. You have to have a location. You have to have an emergency spot if you're going to drop it down on the ground for some reason. But the helicopter, you can go anywhere you want. You can land on a 12-by-12 peak, do a pinnacle landing or something like that anywhere. There's such a freedom and an aboundment that gives you that opportunity. And it also, you're flying at a lower level. So you have a different perspective from being at a lower level than at 30,000 feet when you're in a jetliner and all you see is clouds and some sky and maybe there's ground down below if you get a chance to see through the horizon and the smoke and dust. But when we come back, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. I want to talk about your aviation school in the Army and tell us a little about when you were in boot camp and some of your training and some of the experience that took place. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
We are Women of Vision. We have exciting news. We will no longer be on for Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Our new home will be with North State Now, last Thursday of the month, starting January 2021.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show where every Thursday night a different host highlights people, places, entertainment, local heroes, arts, and women of vision.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women. Join us for North State Now, last Thursday of the month, 6 to 7 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM.
The Baffle and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Baffle and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Baffle and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Why did you switch to Dish?
Everything was going okay with DirecTV.
But our bill was out of control. We saved $280.
$270.
$300. Like, holy
savings.
Hey, guys, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite, your authorized Dish retailer. We've been offering holy savings like these since 1999. Being local, we listen to your needs in the TV entertainment, and we give you the best that we can. At B&T Satellite, we've saved some of our customers $600 to $1,200 per year, and these prices are locked in for 2 years. Skip the 800 number waiting on hold for long periods of time. Call 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. And if you already have Dish, call us and we'll help you find great ways to upgrade and save money in the years to come.
Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
B&T Satellite is a Dish authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Sword of freedom.
me, give me honor, such a burden brings.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is We Remember by Dwayne O'Brien. And that is dedicated to all of our pilots, our World War II pilots, our Korean War pilots, our Vietnam pilots, all of those who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom and Desert Storm and that are out there flying right now, our airplane pilots, our helicopter pilots, our jet pilots, the men and women who fly, have flown, and continue to fly, to serve our nation, to protect our men and women that are on the ground, and to do the oversight, the overwatch. I knew that when we were doing convoys in Iraq, you could hear the jets fly over. They were called them, they were fast movers is what we call them, because we never knew who they were or what they were. We just knew that they were American-friendly forces, Air Force, Marine Corps, Army helicopters, Angel Flights, who brought our soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen home. And so when the Overwatch was flying, when there was usually Black Hawks, or they were when we were in the Al Anbar province, which was controlled by the Marine Corps, it was Cobras, Air Cobras, it was CH-46s, CH-53s, and we knew that when they were overwatching us that we could go ahead and we could breathe a little while because they were looking for the bad guys. They had eyes on the ground. They were watching where we were at. They were seeing what was going on. And they would fly at night also. We'd get the helicopters to come in. They'd do the overwatch at night. And they had the infrared. They could see if somebody was out there and about in the sand dunes or the hills or the different vehicles and find out where those were. And they would to transfer that information to me. And then I would make my convoy personnel aware of the threat and the situation that was around us. And so aviation is so important, especially obviously for all the skills in our aviation with our firefighters and everything taken care with aviation in that manner. But I've always, in fact, one of the reasons that I started flying was because it was the 50th anniversary of Charles Lindbergh in 1977. And seeing all the information, everything else that took place after that was just gave me a drive that I just something I always wanted to do. And so I was the only one that ever flew in my family. I started flying when I was 16 years old, 150. Back when you could rent a 150 wet, which means with fuel, for $17 an hour, back in 1977. And, you know, you can't even, I mean, $5, $6 a gallon for aviation fuel now. It's just unbelievable. But, flying out of Van Nuys Airport was the 10th busiest airport for takeoffs and landings in the world at that time in the late 70s. And so you'd be up flying with your instructor and they'd call you out and you'd be 21st in line, for your downwind, 21 in line for final. And so it's like there's 21 airplanes in front of you before you can land. So you better make sure you know what you're doing. You better watch your traffic, and you better make sure you have enough fuel, because if they extend you, you're not going to be able to make it to the end of the runway. So there's all different kinds of things that you have to learn and deal with and things like that. And I just love aviation. Dave, talk to us just a little bit about when you were going to Army Aviation School, where you were at, and some of the things that you had to do in some of your training.
All right, Rob. Well, after I left boot camp at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas, I went to Fort Rucker, Alabama. And that's where most all the helicopter pilots in the Army get trained. And they have a big variety, of course, of all the helicopters there. The ones that I trained in was the OH-58. They were the Aero Scouts. It's like the Bell helicopters, the Jet Rangers, but they're actually first built for, as a OH-58 was for the contract as an Aero Scout in Vietnam. They including the way we were equipped and trained is we didn't have any armament. We would just fly in and observe, and then we would hide behind trees, and we would usually like count 9 seconds between when we pop up above a tree and then come back down and move laterally, so if you know, a missile was locked on us, heat signature, we wouldn't get hopefully hit. So we had our armament in the Cobra behind us, or sometimes the Hueys. In our unit, we actually, when I joined them in Stockton, they had the Mike's, the UH-1s with a, I think it was a H model first, and then they had rocket pods, missile launchers, and then they finally got the Cobras. So the Cobras would fire, and we'd look for effects and either give them adjustments or fire for effect. That was my job as an MOS, 93 Bravo. And it's now changed a few times to different aircraft, more capable aircraft. But generally speaking, they still have the need for the Aero Scouts to get in and see what's going on. We're using the first ones across airwise on the enemy lines on the ground.
So when you were at doing your training there, where was your final duty station?
Stockton. It was where my unit was, first the 140th. And we would train there in the Sierras and sometimes Coastal Range. You know, we'd just wind up training twice a week, twice a month, our regular drills, and then AFTPs, additional flight training periods.
Did they ever, that was during the 80s, right?
That was, I started in 89
In the early 90s.
And then, yeah, went through into the mid-90s.
Oh, I didn't, so you were actually flying for the Army at the time when we first met. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was just before the Gulf War.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we're going to take a break in just a minute. But how many hours were you able to acquire while you were flying with the Army?
Well, I would say probably around 300 hours with the Army.
So I guess they were doing some downsizing during that time, because it would seem like you'd get more flying hours than that.
Yeah, we wound up being held back in the Gulf War for Korea. There was something going on in Korea at the time. We had a sister unit there that we were assigned to protect if they needed extra reinforcements.
It seems like there's always something going on in Korea. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Huddle up, team. Black Bear Diner's announcing their all-star lineup of fan favorites and the new Ciabatta Bear Burger. Easily grab the Rookie of the Year honor. Early stats guarantee that this hefty 10-ounce burger will have a long-standing position on the team. Loaded with what you'd expect, this one's built on a toasted ciabatta roll. It's versatile, too, with a cheese and bacon upgrade for a championship lunch. Head to blackbeardiner.com to choose this player for your next meal. Open for carryout, delivery, or outdoor seating, weather permitting.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, Mama, if not me, then who? Upstairs shaving, his clothes are starting pressed. I'm down here praying, my mind is in a mess. I asked where he got these crazy ideas anyway. He just smiles and says, it's the way that I was raised. And if not there, then where? If not now, then if not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, Daddy, if not me, then who?
number 84, wide receiver for the Wildcats, whose picture is hanging in my hall. Next to the soldier, standing proud and tall. He said, if not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, dear God, if not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Dave Everson, Christine Everson, and Eric Everson. And the business that they have is Air Shasta Rotor and Wing. And Dave, before we transition to talking to Christine for just a minute, I know that you just picked up a Black Hawk helicopter out there. And tell us a little bit about all the different aircraft that you have. And I know that this year, since you've gotten some turbine aircraft, you've been starting to do more flying for the fire department and for the forestry and the BLM or whoever it is, the corporate entities that you fly for. Tell us just a little bit about that.
All right, Rob. Well, we've been flying fires for 5 years now, and we started with actually a Jet Ranger, which is the same airframe I flew in the Army. And civilian-wise, they call it the 206. That's also used for spotting, sometimes Helco, recon work on the fires. We do have a Bambi bucket for it. It doesn't drop a lot of water, so usually don't use it for water. So we got a bigger aircraft, the Bell 407. We had it modified with a larger engine and better windows, and so it's called the 407 HP. We use it for hell attack, which is flying a crew in for initial strike, like if there's a lightning strike that someone reported from smoke, we go observe it. Pretty much like a fire department in town would if they get a call, they're trying to be the first ones out. If we can get a hold of it while it's small, and we do, we'll take care of that. The way that works is I have three other firefighters on board. We land, leave it hot, running. They'll get out, set up the bucket, set up the long line, take my door off, and then we've also located a water source by then, and so I'll start dipping by myself and start hitting it with water and giving reports over the radio. If it gets larger and we can't control it, then I'll call in some larger resources, like the Type 2s and Type 3 helicopters, fixed-wing bombers, anywhere from the small seats, which is single-engine air attack, to the larger, up to the 747s. If it gets established as a big fire, then there'll be air attack coming in high overhead with a fixed wing. But if it's small and we get it fast enough, then it takes care of a lot of the lightning strikes. The other thing we use those 407s for a lot is, and it's kind of new with the, relatively new with the Forest Service, it's been going on for a while with CDF, is Helco. And Helco, it's like a aerial control tower. So we control the mostly helicopters, other helicopters coming in. We may have, let's say, had 8 or 9 or 10 helicopters on this fire. We'll direct them into different canyons at the same, one after the other, and then monitor their progress and call in for some more aircraft. There's a Forest Service manager on board. He pretty much orchestrates most all that. I help him out if he gets a little busy, but usually I'm just the driver, so to speak. I fly it around, and he'll say what altitudes, where we're going to go, and if we got visibility, then we'll be able to cover a lot of the fire. And then the Black Hawks are something new. We just started flying those last year. Those are, of course, the Type 1s, or the large ships, flying lots of water, about 9,000 gallons, or 9,000 pounds. Of water, the bigger buckets. We don't haul any crew at this point. We're just there just to have bigger guns to work on the bigger flames. And those we've flown those anywhere from over Virginia to Arizona to Texas, Oregon, you know, that just kind of wherever they need us, we'll take those.
Do you have a Blackhawk over at your hangar now?
We have one in there right now that's stripped down. You should come see it.
I'm going to come over and beg some stick time.
We're not going to get stick time right now because it's stripped down.
No, I mean, when you get it back together again,
yeah.
I want to be there if I can be. So.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing aircraft. As a mechanic, I'm also very intrigued with engineering that goes on with those. A lot of redundant systems. Systems were developed in the Army for taking rounds, being able to seal up the fuel tanks if they got hit. You know, it's two engines, of course, and three generators. And the electronics, the pneumatics is pretty amazing on it, and hydraulics.
Well, I got to fly in a UH-60 Seahawk when I was in Iraq. So that's the Navy version of the Black Hawk, which is the Army version. And so it was quite a ride. I mean, so much power. I mean, you lift off, and it was just so much strength in that aircraft. Mm-hmm. And so that was my small thrill. I got to fly in the CH-46s, the CH-53s, C-130s, the C-47s, C-5s, you name it. If it was in country, we flew in it at one time or another, getting one location to the other. Thousands upon thousands of hours of driving in Iraq. Dave, I want to say right off the bat before we move on, I want to say thank you for your service and your helicopter service and for serving our country, United States Army, for that time frame. And thank you for fighting fires here in our Northern California area and then in the other areas. You served on our board of directors for the Northern California Veterans Museum for several years. And then you got so busy with everything going on that, you know, we were able to step off and move forward with other things. But I just want to say thank you for what you do in the community. Thank you for your service. And thank you not everybody can be out there flying helicopters for fighting the fires, being a local hero to save our forest, to save our homes and our communities, and then also being able to serve and take care of our veterans also. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. So
well, thank you, Rob, for all you do. You do quite a bit around here. I'm really impressed with what you've been able to accomplish so far.
Well, we just kind of keep our nose to the grindstone and stay busy. We don't talk a lot about it because if you're talking, you're not doing it. So we just go do it. And so we've got some great things going. Well, talk about your son. You have a son that's serving in the United States Navy right now. And Christine, I'm going to switch over to you a little bit from Dave and I get some perspective with your son serving active duty Navy right now overseas. That makes you a Blue Star mom.
Yeah.
And so as a Blue Star mom with an active duty son, and a nephew that's serving also. Go ahead. We've got another minute and a half here. Talk a little bit about what it was like when your son decided that he's going to go in the service and why he chose the Navy.
Well, I want to say hi to Max because he's listening live and to our daughter in Norway. We've got him all over the place.
Well, your
right
son
now.
Is actually serving in Korea.
So he is serving in Korea,
so
yes.
Serving
and,
in Korea right now.
He was very excited to be able to go over there and love to finish his years over there, but they're going to be taking him other places here this spring. So, funny story. My son's side of the family, we have a blended family. They are all Navy. So hi to Davin if you're listening. And then my side of the family's Army, and I married an Army man. And Grandpa died, and Max was trying to decide which one to go into, the Army or the Navy. And Grandpa threw the ultimate trump card in dying, and so our son went into the Navy. And I had mixed feelings, probably as any parent, but pride. Just he's the only one of our five kids so far that's gone into the service, and I feel really strongly about backing our military, especially in times like now. And couldn't have been happier, but when I found out he really wanted to go to Japan, to find out he went into Korea, where my father was in the Korean War. So it was just added pride for me.
Christine, we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Leave this world and live in the sky.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The rapid expansion of COVID-19 vaccinations to senior citizens across the U.S. has led to some bottlenecks, and that's caused some disappointment in states with a shortage of vaccine. Oregon Governor Kate Brown reports that the additional vaccines to her state that were promised never came through.
Just a few days earlier, we, like the rest of the country, heard HHS Secretary Azar's announcement that the federal government was releasing the entire federal supply to help the states expedite vaccinations.
In California, some counties begged for more coronavirus vaccine for their senior citizens. Hospitals in South Carolina were running short. The administration has said all along the initial rollout would go to those most in need, but the vaccines would not be widely available for the U.S. population until the spring months. Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz called out the U.S. Congress in a recent radio interview, saying that they violate all kinds of things, including impeachment clauses, the First Amendment, and the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
The Congress broke a record, not by impeaching President Trump for the second time, but by violating more provisions of the Constitution in one day than any Congress has ever done in history.
And that is Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz. He spoke to the Joe Piscopo show. Detroit's Big Auto Show will not happen as scheduled in September, but will be replaced by an outdoor exhibit at a racetrack in nearby Pontiac.
Show organizers say the move comes amid worries that the coronavirus pandemic could affect the indoor show normally held at Detroit's downtown convention center. The new event is being called Motor Bella and will take place at the M1 Concourse. The facility has the track and room for 1.6 million square feet of display space.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Neville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy will not support an effort by a group of House conservatives to oust House Republican Conference Chairwoman Liz Cheney from her leadership position. Here's House correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Representative Cheney has come under fire for a decision to support impeaching President Trump this week. House Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs and Representative Matt Rosendale began circulating a petition Wednesday to have the conference move Cheney, the number three Republican in the House and the highest-ranking GOP woman, from her leadership position. Top Trump allies, including Congressman Jim Jordan, have announced that they will back the effort, arguing the conference should hold a vote. Cheney says she doesn't plan to step down from her position. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Newly elected GOP Representative Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina said he was armed last week when an angry mob attacked the Capitol. Cawthorn told the Smoky Mountain News the day after the attack he was on the House floor when he and other lawmakers were told to evacuate as the rioters began to break down windows and doors. More from townhall.com. Mexico says charges against the country's former defense minister were fabricated by the DEA. We get more details on those claims from correspondent Mike Grazia.
Mexico's president said Friday the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration fabricated drug trafficking charges against General Salvador Cienfuegos. Cienfuegos was arrested in Los Angeles in October. U.S. authorities accused him of conspiring with the H2 cartel in Mexico to smuggle thousands of kilos of cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, and marijuana while he was Mexico's defense secretary from 2012 to 2018. But with Mexico threatening to restrict or expel U.S. agents, U.S. prosecutors dropped their case in November and returned him to Mexico. Thursday night, Mexico's Attorney General's office said Cienfuegos had been cleared entirely and the case was closed. I'm Mike Grazia.
More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is dedicated to CMT Third Class Max Lane, serving in Korea right now in the United States Navy, and to all of our men and women who are serving active duty right now across the world in the seven seas. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for doing your duty. And we are grateful for the freedom that you are preserving. And that goes to our veterans, our all of our Navy veterans who have served, and all those who are going to serve. We appreciate what you have done. We appreciate where you have been. We appreciate the sacrifices of you and those that you serve with that didn't come home. They came home under the flag. And so every day we need to step forward and say thank you for those that continue to preserve the freedom. Now that I'm retired and I'm not there any longer in the Navy, I miss it. I miss what we did. I miss where we were at. I miss the men and women we served with. And, you know, as a CB, I was a dirt sailor. I wasn't a sea sailor. I was a dirt sailor. I wasn't an Airedale, which are those that serve with the aviation wing. But as a dirt sailor, you know, we were in the thick of it. Looks like we were in Iraq and everything else, but it's an integral part of an organization that covers land, sea, and air. And so what a great opportunity. Max, if you're still listening, thank you for your service to our country. And so, Christine, this morning as we continue to talk, we were talking about Max going into the Navy and some of the things that you were dealing with as a mom. And if you don't know, if your son or daughter are serving in the military, you're considered a Blue Star mom. And then if you've lost a son or daughter, that's considered to be a Gold Star mom. And so as a Blue Star mom, tell us a little bit more about your son going into the Navy and some of the concerns and how it is right now while he's serving.
Well, I had a little forerunner named my nephew, Paul Karras, who is serving, and he is on his third stint with the Navy, and he's actually gone from off being ship to becoming a fireman to teaching in Norfolk right now. And so we did a lot of talking back and forth, and the two cousins were speaking, and it gave me a great amount of peace because I knew Max's heart was to go overseas, and he really wanted to go to Japan, ended up in Korea, but he's gotten his orders, and it looks like March he's going to be applying for an advancement, and then he'll be coming stateside and going to Florida, where he'll be continue on with education there, and then he goes to San Diego for more education, and then the ship's going to be leaving to go to Japan. So very sad. He's in love with a beautiful South Korean gal, and so we'll see where that happens. He said he's not quite ready to pop the ring, pop the question yet.
Well, the real question is when he gets back here, if the relationship continues to go, because long distance, that's where it really counts.
Oh, yeah, we've had that grandbaby talk already, too. That's going to be a lot of frequent flyer miles if I have to go over there all the time. But so our family doesn't know this, so he put it in writing to me. And so I'm trying not to cry, but I'm tears of joy and pride as well as, oh, no. But so his birthday is in February, and the day after his birthday, he'll be reenlisting again for 4 to 5 more years.
Okay, for him.
Yes, I'm very, very
proud
of him.
Thank you, Max, for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Max. And so he's living his dream. He's always been my kid who's good at keeping secrets. So that's kind of the field where he's going to be going into with computers, and he'll eventually be on shipside as well, just like his father was and his grandfather before him. So pretty exciting. We're just reminiscing. I have family on all walks of the military except for the Coast Guard. So we go all the way back on my side of the family, back to the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, and, of course, Dave being married now. So, yeah, it's been pretty wonderful. And tracing your genealogy is a really neat thing if you go back through the military records and you can actually find out where they served, what their rank was, and so.
My sixth great-grandfather was Ebenezer Webster, and he served with Rogers Raiders and with George Washington during the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
And his youngest son was Daniel Webster, who was a congressman who helped save the Constitution. Daniel Webster had two sons, and one of them died at the Mexican-American War in 1849, and the other one served during Civil War. And he was killed on the battlefield at the Second Battle of Manassas. And so he had 9 children, and one of his children came out and married a gold miner during the Gold Rush days. And that's where it was introduced into my side of the family, or my mother's side of the family. So that's how That's how that genealogy goes up through our side of the family, all the way back to Rogers Raiders. And then Ebenezer Webster came over from Scotland at that time in the early 1700s. So, I mean, I don't know it any farther back than that. But, yes, tracing that back and knowing that history, and then one of the things is knowing that the one grandfather died on the battlefield. He actually died on the Confederate side. They had picked him up and carried him over to the Confederate side, and he died on the Confederate lines later that night after he was killed during that day. But it's amazing to go back and to understand and know that history. My mother's father, my grandfather, was a World War One veteran who was sunk on a ship in the North Sea off of England and happened to survive, 68 out of 300-plus souls. And so the question, you go back and look at something like that, and the question you ask is, if he had died right then, if he had died off that submarine and hadn't come back to the United States after World War One, none of my life would have ever taken place. And so, you know, when you think about where you've served in Iraq and what we've done in the community and different things like that, you know, it seems that there is the finger of God in certain places that causes things to happen or that helps to things to continue. And I look at I go ahead and look back at the history of my family and things like with my grandfather living through the sinking of the submarine in the North Sea between Scotland and England, you know, that all of the things that would have taken that would not have taken place if his life had been taken at that time. And so that's another reason why when we do the things we do in the community, when I do those things, I know how important it is because there's a reason. And just like coming back from Iraq, I shouldn't have come back from Iraq because I should have died there several times. But there's a reason. And so every day we try to, this is my second chance. Life is a gift. And so every day I have the opportunity to try to help make a difference. Try to be a positive influence in our community. Try to be a light instead of a darkness. And to the best we can. We're only human. We can only do what we can. I'm only one man, but one man can do a lot. And so that's one of the things that I encourage others, just like your son serving right now. He has the opportunity in his career to do many wonderful things. Stay focused, work hard, continue to do what he does, have fun, but do your job. And that's what I encourage all of our veterans to step up and do that.
You know, it's interesting you talk about those God prints in your life. My father was in the Korean War, but he was stationed in Germany and meets my mother there. And she ends up being a war bride and comes back. But her story was she was the last train out from Hitler. And my grandfather's best friend came in the middle of the night and warned them that the Reich was coming through and you either.
We're going to talk a little bit about that on the other subject again. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you. Like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back into a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
My dearest son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same. Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared and our butts ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work, and it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. Our guest this morning is Dave Everson, Christine Everson, and Eric Everson. And we talked about Dave's service in the Army and flying helicopters. And now we're talking with Christine concerning their son that's serving right now in the United States Navy overseas. And letters from home. How often do you? I know, you know, it's not the same thing when you used to get a letter. Like in 2003, we were overseas on deployment. You would get letters. That's what you got, was a letter. And then now you've got a text and whatever else. And you know, you can text them with your phone, or you don't have to use a computer or whatever else. And boom, you have instantaneous conversations overseas. But when I used to receive letters from my family and my wife and children and mom and aunts and uncles or whoever, the letters you kept those letters and you'd bring them back out and you'd read them again.
Yeah, they never go away, do they? They just serve as a remembrance of history and of time lost.
Well, a letter has an impact because you keep it with you. The words are written, and you can draw on it for courage or for love or for just reading pleasure because it's from a loved one or a family member or something like that. But a text has no feeling to it. You know, it's just black and white text. It's just something like that that's thrown on a piece of paper. So this song means a lot because letters from home, it's a letter that you received that somebody cared enough to stop and write.
Yeah. So I've been very blessed in the fact that with Max being in, we do a lot of video calling so we can see each other's face. I've gotten to meet his girlfriend, but I'm snail mail kind of girl. So we do send letters and packages, and Max and his girlfriend have sent packages to us. And I cherish those letters when they come through. I cherish those video calls, and I don't think I've cried so much in my life as I have every time I hang up with them.
That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us with our program with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services to send the care packages overseas, because a care package that you receive is not a text.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of goodies. It's full of encouragement. There's letters from kids. There's letters from people in the community to say thank you for your service, and it's so important when you get that. Not only that, you open it up, and it's like, wow, it's like Christmas all over again whenever you get a care package, because you don't know what's in there. And there's usually sweets and goodies and jerky and nuts and different things like that. And all those things they're just wonderful.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important. That is a morale builder when you receive a box when you're deployed. And you just, even from strangers, it's even better because somebody cared enough to do it. And so, Max, we're going to send you some boxes over there for you to hand out and be Santa Claus to your unit, your group there, and let you know that, we appreciate your service. We appreciate what you're doing. Continue to do the good job. Encourage those around you to do the good job. And know that even though it seems like the world's going to hell in a handbasket here in the United States, where you're at, we as Americans still appreciate everything that you're doing. And so we want to continue to encourage you and your fellow sailors and all those that are serving, that you're not serving in vain.
Yes.
You're not serving in vain. You need to understand that, and that we appreciate everything that you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Max and Paul. And Jesse Whipple, one of our scouts that graduated, he's also in the Navy, and he went in just before Max. So we're very proud of him as well. And we have a Marine from the scouts that's also gone in.
So now we're going to talk about another son.
Yeah.
We have Eric here. Good morning, Eric.
Hello.
So Eric Everson, where are you going to school right now?
I'm homeschooled. This is my last year. I'm a senior. But because of being homeschooled, it's given me a lot more time to work at Air Shasta and on my other personal businesses and lots of other stuff. But mainly biggest thing is it's given me a lot of time to work on my Eagle Scout project. So right now I'm working on a 1954 Dodge Heavy Duty Power Wagon that was with the Veterans Museum.
That's right. Now, Eric has came to me and said, hey, I'm looking to do an Eagle Scout project, and he wanted to know if I had anything going on. I said, well, we have all these vehicles, and we had these other projects, and out of the list of items, he chose to go ahead and work on the Korean War truck. And so it's was originally the United States Marine Corps 1954, and then the vehicle went to the Department of Interior, and served with the Department of Interior, and then from there it went to Shasta County CD, which is Civil Defense, which is back in the 60s, back during the nuclear threat, the atomic threat, and then it went to Shasta County Mosquito Abatement. And then it served with the Shasta County Mosquito Abatement till 2006, and then it sat for several years. And then they called us up and donated it to the museum. And we are in the process of restoring that. And the only reason we know all that history is because every time we take a layer of paint off of it, there's another insignia. In fact, yesterday or day before when you guys were working on it,
mm-hmm.
there is another insignia that said for government use only on that.
Yep.
But I want to come back and talk a little bit about the very beginning when you're what was the reason you went into Scouts and where you're at right now. And then also, you know, I just want to embarrass you a little bit. I remember before you were born. So, I mean, so we've been involved with your family for a long time. And so it's encouraging. I would have never thought that, that working with Dave and everything else, and eventually his son would come and be part of our program to be able to help restore one of our vehicles. And you helped us also when we were packing meals together for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You came down with some of your friends, and we put together all those meals together for 100-plus veterans that we fed during that time frame. So you're a volunteer. I love your attitude when we're working together out there. The friends that you bring have good attitudes. They're like-minded. And I think that that the company that you keep is very well. I really like the people that you bring because they're smart, they're educated, they're level-headed, and they're good kids. And I want you to know that out there in the community, we have some great kids that are in our community. You may not see them every day, and it's probably because they're working or they're busy or they're doing school or whatever else. But I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by the group of people that I've seen working with you, especially here in our community. And because a lot of times you just think what you see on the news, which is rhetoric and, mm-hmm. and destruction and chaos, and that's not the case. And so people need to know that individuals like yourself that are coming up, and thank you, Dave and Christine, for raising your son the way you have, and your other children also, because obviously in the service and everything, that these are positive individuals that would be role models in our community down the road. And so tell us a little about the Scout program and what you've learned.
So I started Scouts, and Cub Scouts I joined in second grade. And the people that I joined with stuck with me all the way through now. They're still in Scouts with me to this day. I started second grade, and then I think it was fifth grade, I think, is when you cross over to Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts was a totally different lesson. Like, Cub Scouts was learning just kind of basic, I guess the word would be morals, and kind of trying to instill a good attitude in kids. But when you move to Boy Scouts, you start to act on those. Cub Scouts, you earn your ranks from just getting older. But in the Scouts, it's your job to personally go after ranking up and working for those ranks. And through that, you get to learn a lot. So I would actually encourage, like, anyone. I know a lot of stuff has been said about Scouts recently, lots of negative, but I would really encourage every Scout or every kid that is maybe interested in Scouting to go for it. It will teach you so many things. It'll give you life lessons that you're not getting, you might not necessarily get in your life or not have the opportunity to. And I'm so grateful. I have amazing parents, and they've given me a lot of opportunity to learn things, but I still have learned so much in Scouting that I don't believe I would have learned otherwise, when it comes to doing the right thing, or even like super positive life-changing experiences. With the Scouts, we are required, or we are allowed to retire flags when a flag is no longer fit to fly. It is supposed to be treated like a person. It's supposed to be cremated, like burned, or it's supposed to be buried. And with the Scouts, we get to do a burning ceremony, and that ceremony has taught me a lot in life and a lot of respect for people that have carried the colors. Things like that in Scouting is very important, and I would highly recommend other Scouts to join.
I have a whole box of flags for you. I'm sure you've seen them there at the building. So we usually either go to the VFW with them, and the VFW works with the Scouts also. Mm-hmm. So when you're ready, let me know. We'll dig those flags out for you to take for the program.
That'd be awesome.
So and you could they could even come down and do a ceremony there at the back of the firehouse.
Okay.
So there's a location to do it right there. And I'm sure if we needed the fire department there for some reason, they would come down and be a part of your program, too. We want to be very involved with our community, with the Northern California Veterans Museum. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Follow me, boys, follow me. When you think you're really weak, that's the time to lift your feet and follow me. There's a job to do, there's a fight to win. Follow me, boys, follow me. And it won't be done till we all pitch in. Lift your chin with a grin and follow me. It's a long, long climb, but we've got the will. Follow me, boys, follow me. When we reach the top, then it's all downhill. Till you drop, don't stop and follow me. Though the journey's end is beyond our sight, follow me, boys, follow me. If we do our best, then we've done all right. Pack your load, hit the road, and follow me. Follow me, boys, follow me. When you think you're really neat, that's the time to lift your feet and follow me. Boys, follow me. Pick them up, put them down, and follow me.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is the official Boy Scout song, the official Boy Scout theme song. I believe it was written back in the 50s. And it's one of our guests this morning, the son of Dave and Christine Everson, is Eric. And Eric, you are working on your Eagle Scout project right now.
Yeah.
And it's actually been really great working with you. And, you've been out there working hard, and I appreciate that. Taking care of that vehicle and getting things together. If you weren't listening, Eric is working on his Eagle Scout project, and he's chosen one of the military vehicles in the museum collection. It's a 1954 Dodge 3/4-ton 4x4 power wagon pickup truck, and it was used by the United States Marine Corps back in 1954 at the close of Korean War. And so tell us a little bit more about your scouting program. People want to know a little bit about that and what you've learned, how it's affecting you in your life in positive and even negative manners, if you need to talk about that. But we want you to be able to share that. And go, tell us a little bit about how that transitions into your Eagle Scout project and what you have to do to accomplish that, mm-hmm. and how people can help you with that mm-hmm. as we move forward. And then also you have a brass aiguillette around your net there,
yep.
and we were talking about flags during the break. Explain to me what that is.
So during a flag retirement ceremony, during burning ceremonies, you salute a flag. As it's burning, you usually give a speech for each flag. At the end, some scouts and I usually go through the pile and try to find all the epaulets from the flag. And we'll usually make necklaces out of them and tie them. So a piece of history that was once flying can continue to fly on us as we go through life.
Well, I noticed that when you had the other day, you had like four or five of your scout buddies out there, and you're all working on the truck. It was mm-hmm. really great to see you out there working together. And I noticed several of you had those brass epaulets around your neck there. And I thought, well, I know what that is because I recognize it. And I never got a chance to ask you why you were wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a great significance of why you wear that. That's really I think that's wonderful that you do that.
Mm-hmm. It really taught me a lesson about respect for the colors. And I just wanted to continue that like going forward through the rest of my life.
That's great. Well, I think that we'll pull the rest of those out of those other ones because we get flags all the time
mm-hmm.
that we do that with. So, in fact, I think somewhere I have a cup of those because I just pull them out because they're brass
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want them to just get thrown away. So somewhere I have a whole cup full of those from different flags and now I see another great opportunity to be able to have those. So, so that's wonderful.
That might make a great fundraiser too. To make necklaces out of them and sell them.
Absolutely,
or go towards an Eagle Scout project.
I think
you do
people
have to
would
raise
appreciate
your own money.
That. Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about, you had said that there's some valuable lessons that you've learned in the scouting. Tell us some of those valuable lessons.
Oh, yeah. So going through scouting, I definitely learned a lot of lessons when I started at 10 and a half and all the way up to 17. So I learned just a lot of life stuff through scouts. I spent a lot of summers mostly with scouts, going on outing after outing after outing. It's definitely taught me for sure how to be like tough, how to just push through physical challenges. Even though my body's super, super tired and my legs are sore after backpacking, you know, the last 40 miles, it's taught me to just get through it because, you know, to keep what the end goal is in mind when you're going through tough times. And that translates definitely over to other things in life, like my Eagle Scout project. When I'm working on my Eagle Scout project, it seems like there's a whole lot to do on the truck itself. And there's so many things I that seems like they're never ending, but I just got to keep my head on the end game and just see all of the things that I've done already as accomplishments and that those shouldn't say that, oh, you've came far enough, you're okay, but those should motivate you to go even further. So I definitely learned how to push myself even further than I thought I could. I definitely also learned a lot of humility through scouting. When you're young, you think you know a lot. I mean, I probably still could learn a lot of lessons in humility.
It never ends.
Yep. And when I was especially younger, having older scouts, you know, I thought that I might know more than the older scouts, but not the truth. So when I'm going on different outings or whatever, having the leadership above me taught me a lot of humility. And even though I might have not seen what the end game was at that age, the leadership taught me to trust the next person above me, and that the scouts are always looking out for one another. This is a bit of a segue, but I was talking to my scoutmaster before the radio show, and he was I was telling him that what channel was on and stuff, and he sent out an email to our scouts saying that, you know, it was on the station, and I was like, oh, you didn't have to do that, but he replied with 125, our troop is not just a troop, it's a family, and that's a thing that I really want to instill in any young person that's looking for a place of belonging. That scouts can teach you a whole lot. You could learn a lot of lessons. You could have a ton of fun going out with your buddies for summers, places far away. I've gone to Canada. I've gone to Philmont, which is the largest youth camp in the world. I've gone to a lot of different places, but the biggest thing that I could take away from that all is that scouting is a family, and that the relationships you build with your buddies is everlasting. And if you want a place of belonging, then scouts is definitely the way to go. Scouts has taught me a lot of things, but one thing it is given me is true friends and family.
Well, I noticed that when you were working the other day with your buddies, and there were several of them were friends and some scouts there, some were Eagle Scouts that had already gone through their projects that mm-hmm. you had helped work with that. And I noticed that you guys had a good camaraderie. It was good, mm-hmm. clean fun. You guys were working hard together. You came together as a team, and you were doing that all together. And I was just like, it's kind of looking at some young troops there, kind of like looking at some young military personnel when they finally get through boot camp and they're doing some mm-hmm. things, working together and coming together as a team. And so I am glad that the Scout program is still working. Even though you hear all this negativity and everything else out there, I think sometimes that the media wants to tear down good organizations like that mm-hmm. because it is a good organization, because they are teaching you things like that. They're helping you to become a better individual, a better citizen in our community. Some go into the military, some do not. But you have that mindset of working together and coming together and being a positive factor in our community, mm-hmm. not a negative one, throwing rocks, breaking down windows, painting on the walls, or anything else.
Yeah.
And so you guys are the Scout program is a solution to problems instead of being a problem to solutions.
Yep.
And so I'm thankful for who is your want to do a shout out to your Scout leader?
Oh, Scoutmaster Russell. Amazing guy. He stepped up. I've gone through 3 Scoutmasters in my time of scouting, or a troop has. And there's lots of different assistant Scoutmasters too. But right now it's Scoutmaster Russell. Before that it was Scoutmaster Allspa, and before that was Scoutmaster Oliphant. All of them taught me different valuable lessons. Some were harder on scouts, some were not, but they all taught lessons for me and other scouts.
And I know that you were talking about hiking and doing things like that, and one of your skill sets that you've been working on is climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And last week you won an award for climbing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, I'm a part of Shasta Rock Club. It's the local climbing gym. So they just had a competition the other week, and I was able to compete, and I got first place, which was super cool.
Congratulations
for
that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hard work pays off.
There's actually a climbing merit badge in scouts too. So if scouts were interested in doing some climbing, there's some awesome opportunities out there with that.
Great. Our guest this morning, our final guest is Eric Everson, along with his family that are here. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
About the place he's been living for the last 8 months, and it ain't about the badges on his uniform, and it ain't about the oil like they say it is in the news. You'll never hear him say it don't matter anymore, 'cause what matters most is feeling home. Gathered round the table, barely able to get through the day without thinking about him, their life without him. So he makes sure that they know that he knows what matters most.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And our guests this morning are Dave Everson, Christine Everson, Eric Everson, and we are talking with Eric right now about his Eagle Scout project with the Scouts. And Eric, we're down to our last several minutes here. We want to talk about the significance of your Eagle Scout project, but we want to talk about how important your Eagle Scout badge is, why it's so important for you to get this, the accomplishment it will be in your life. And then we want to talk about how people can donate to your project to help offset the costs as you're moving forward. They can make a donation to you. They can make a donation, which is the Scouts, or they can make a donation to the museum for you through the museum as we're working with you with the project, and that's a donation so they can get a tax write-off for that, businesses or individuals. Go ahead and let us know a little bit more about that.
Okay. So the Eagle Scout rank is the highest rank you could attain in scouting. And you have to go through a lot of different things to get there. And it mostly shows a lot of leadership skills and shows that you have the ability to get things done. And one of the tests for that is your Eagle Scout project. That's one of the last requirements for your Eagle Scout. And I decided to work on the truck with the Veterans Museum. So one of the things we've been working on painting it, we're just fully restoring it. But there has been a lot of costs for it, like tires. We need a new master cylinder for the brakes. There's a lot of different things that we need, and mostly the most expensive is going to be the painting of it all. So I'm hoping to raise $5,000 for the project, and if anyone out there would be willing to donate, you can make checks out to Troop 125 and get those to the fundraising. How would you say that, fundraising?
I'm your fundraising mother.
Fundraising mother?
But also for
Troop 125. So if you make those checks out to Troop 125, and you could get a hold of the fundraising mother at 530-510-6606, or you could get a hold of Rob from the Veterans Museum and just make it out to Troop 125. I believe there is also an online thing you have with the...
They can go to the website and do a PayPal also.
At the veterans website?
Yes, and then they just put scouts in the tagline so that we know where the funding needs to be directed to.
And we have a way of being able to receive credit cards as well as PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could
give that phone number one more time.
Yeah, if you need more information on how to donate, call or text Christine Everson, my mom, at 530-510-6606.
All right, great. So what's going to happen when you finish your Eagle Scout project?
Once I finish my Eagle Scout project, I got to make sure all the paperwork's in order, that I got all the donations lined up, everything's super organized. Got to make sure that I have all my Eagle Scout merit badges done. And once I have them all done and the binder's ready to go, I present it to all the Scoutmasters, and they quiz me on everything I've learned in scoutings. All the knots I know, all the first aid stuff I should know, everything. And if they see that I've learned from scouting and I've retained enough from it, then they will approve me, and then I get to go onto the committee, and then the committee also gets to ask me all the stuff at scouting. But it's more less of like the technical things I've learned, and more of like the things that I've gotten out of scouting, like morally and whatnot. And they usually ask a lot about the project. So once I have all those requirements done, mainly right now, just finishing my merit badges and finishing up, most importantly, the Eagle Scout project.
Well, I think it's going to be wonderful. We get that vehicle fixed. You guys will be able to use it in parades. If we ever have parades again,
mm-hmm.
But you'll be able to utilize that vehicle for the scouting program also.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to let you know that the museum has partnered with Eric and the Scout Project, and we're putting up about $5,000 from the museum also to help offset this cost. So it's a 50-50. As people donate to the organization for the project, the museum has also come up with the funding to be able to take care of this and get this done. A lot of in-kind labor and things like that. I am thankful that you wanted to work with us, and thankful that you wanted to work with the museum,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to take on this project. We were fortunate this vehicle came to us with a lot of the original gear from 1954 on the vehicles, so we don't have to go out and try to find antique parts or replacement things or anything like that. It's just basic maintenance, which still adds up, especially for military tires and batteries,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
all those things that you have to start
fast. They add up fast.
But I think it's been great watching you work out there and working with you as we go, learning some things. I'm able to teach you some things and be able to it's kind of like mentoring a young sailor, answering questions and be able to do things like that. So, once again, I'm grateful that you're working with the museum, helping us out with the project, especially during this time, during the COVID time,
mm-hmm.
when everybody seems to be hiding in the woodwork and everything else, and nobody wants to come out and do anything. You're just out there hardworking, hard charger. And I know where that comes from. It comes from Dave. Maybe a little bit from Christine, but really comes from your parents. Comes mm-hmm. from both of your parents. And so I'm grateful for the whole family, for all of you and what you do in our community, and for working with us and being friends for a long time, and now being able to work with your son and to be able to do that. So we still have several weeks of work to be doing on it. There's a lot of body work that we're working on right
mm-hmm.
now, a lot of sanding, because there's like four heavy coats of paint on it,
yep.
From the different organizations. And then obviously when the Department of Interior painted it, they just painted right over the dust because the paint's crap.
Of course.
Uh-huh. It is just a mess.
No, it's good enough for government, right?
Yeah, so we're trying to get all those get all that off there, but things are coming together with it. It's a good project for the community. And once again, we're glad that we're able to work with the Scout program to get the young men and women, the ladies, the girls that show up and be a part of that also. That's what this is all about. It's community service. It's working together. It's being a positive influence in our community. And it's giving the opportunity and having those that want the opportunity the opportunity to make it work. And so many times people want to do something and they don't know how. Or they want to do something, nobody wants to step up and help them. Well, we're here. We want to be part of that solution with the Northern California Veterans Museum. And once again, is there other scouts or programs that we can work with, we want to be able to be a positive mentoring organization for our young people in our community. And also for other adults. So many people are looking for a source, an opportunity to be a positive source to be involved with. We want to continue to stand strong. and our community as an organization. As veterans who have served our nation, we want to continue to stand strong and set that example when so many other people are weak out there and they have failed minds, failed ideas, and failed concepts. We bring it back to center line. And I don't care if they outlaw the Constitution or not. We're going to stay true to the Constitution. We're going to stay true to our God, true to our country, and true to our family and friends and our communities. And that's the bottom line. And I know that those are some of the moral capabilities that they've taught you in the Scout program mm-hmm. also. And I've seen you implement those as we've been working on the vehicle and things like that, working with your mom and dad. And I'm kind of jealous also. You work for your dad out there at Air Shasta, and you get to go flying around those helicopters uh-huh. all the time. And it's like, you know, it is what it is, but that's what a great opportunity that is for you to be out there and be able to be – you work on the helicopters with your dad. You didn't talk about that. But
and he's learning to fly.
That's what I mean is yeah. being able to – yeah, that's what I meant. More than anything is stick time. Getting behind the stick and being able to go out. And that gives you, once again, that gives you a totally different perspective on life than someone that's never been in the air. Mm-hmm. Because when you get behind the stick and now you're in control of your life, literally, mm-hmm. when I first soloed, it was like, I'm in control of this airplane. If I crash, it's my fault. And things like that. So once again, give that phone number for your mom.
Oh, so if you have any questions about donating or would like to donate, contact my mom at 530-510-6606.
And that's Christine Everson. And once again, Dave, thank you for being here today, being part of our a veteran who served our community and continues to serve with the fire service in our community. We appreciate you, and we appreciate what you do for us, all of us. And thank you for the whole family being here. Max, if you're still listening, thank you for your service over there. Hang tight. Good luck on your second-class petty officer test. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. But I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I'm glad today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee,
KCNR.